It's a little bit hard to describe the feeling that I have this evening. I guess I would say to continue to pray for me, and if the Lord can make good out of these notes, then the glory would definitely go to Him. If I was to give it a topic, the sermon tonight would be being an effective servant of God. And as I think about this account here of Elijah, if we were to ask some of you what your favorite Old Testament story or Old Testament character would be, Elijah would probably be in the top 5 or top 10 for his faithfulness, for the things that he did in his life to serve the Lord. And sometimes we wonder, as Elijah stood there on that mountain and he through the power of God, called fire down, we wonder what was evident in his life that made him stand out to be special. More than those around him, especially at this time. I want to look at the word productive or effective now for just a minute. To be effective, something has to be working. And if you were to, we would use a garden, for example. For a garden to be productive, there are some things that we need to have in place. We need to have proper soil preparation. There needs to be proper planting. There needs to be water. There needs to be weeding. And this time, the way it is with bugs and funguses, there needs to be spray. If you would let out any one of these ingredients, you would probably end up with not much of a garden. In fact, even though I try to have all 5 of these, oftentimes I end up with not much of a garden. So we see it's a lot of work to have a successful or a productive garden. And we want to relay that a little bit to Elijah's life tonight. What was evident in his life? And are there people like that today? I just want to take some practical applications out of his life. I want to read back in 1 Kings chapter 16 a few verses, looking briefly at the setting around Elijah. There is 16 verses 30 to 33. And the son and Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, he took the wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for the Baal in the house of Baal, which he built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. The last 200 years before this time, between the split of Israel and Judah and this time, there was 19 kings, and none of them served the Lord. Not one of those 19 did anything to honor God. They were all evil. So we think that we may have it rough at this time. I think Elijah had it as bad as anybody in his country at this time. So I want to look at 3 points about Elijah and what may be part of his secret to his success in serving the Lord. And the first one is he had a sincere and solid faith in God. If we see in verse 21 and 22, the first thing he does there on Mount Carmel is he challenges the people to their basic belief in God. He says, "Who are you going to believe?" He says, this is your options. You're going to believe God or you're not going to believe God. He says, "How long are you going to ride the fence or halt between two opinions? You can't do it forever." So he challenges them there to their belief in God. If we would just jump back to thinking of Elijah's faith to chapter 17, verse 5, when God told him to go to the brook Cherith before Jordan, and he went and he did according to the word of the Lord, and he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. So we see there that he spent almost a year standing there or living by this brook, waiting every day for his meals from the ravens. And as I was sitting thinking about this, I was wondering where the ravens got their food. And I was just wondering, you know, how this all happened. I just had to wonder if they didn't come from the palace there in Jerusalem. That would Anyway, it's just interesting. He had to have faith every day. And every day that those ravens showed up was increasing Elijah's faith that he would, that God was going to be faithful every day. And he was going to show up and give him his meal. And then in chapter 17, verse 9, we see that God sends him to Zarephath. And it says there, "Arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Sidon, and dwell there, and I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee." Now, of all places for him to go, beyond living by himself, would be to go have a widow take care of him. A lowly widow take care of a prophet of God. And I don't wonder what Elijah was thinking there. And as he lived there for the next, almost 2 years, we see that in verse 17 that the woman's son died. And then she blames Elijah for the problem. You know, he says there in verse 18 of chapter 17, "And she said unto Elijah, What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son?" So I'm sure that this was a time that Elijah probably was wondering about his faith or had his faith tested. And we see there in as he called out to the Lord, he stretched himself on the child. This is the first recorded a resurrection from the dead in the Bible, as Elijah calls this little child back to life and he revived. I believe that Elijah's faith was strengthened through that, and he realized that God was a God that was going to do what he said he was going to do. And then if we jump ahead to chapter 19, verse 10, we see there that Elijah says, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant and thrown down thine altars and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away." So he's basically saying, "I only served you my whole life." And I had to think, how does that apply to us today? I just want to go through a few things as we think about faith. Romans chapter 5, one thing that we, or the most important thing that we have faith in is Jesus Christ, that he died for us. Romans chapter 5, I want to read verses 1 and 2 and then 6 and 8. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." And then verses 6 through 8. "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die." So we rely, or we have faith in the fact that Christ died on the cross. And there in chapter 8, we have no condemnation to those who walk after the Spirit. If you listen to the Garments of Praise, and you have that song, "Set Free, Forgiven," that's a great song of our freedom through the faith in Jesus Christ. So we rely on Christ for salvation. We also have faith in the fact that if we follow his will for our lives, he will complete his will in our lives. And we see that in Elijah's simple obedience. I'm going to jump back to some of the same verses. We see Elijah was obedient to the things that the Lord told him there in 17 verse 5. He went and did according to the word of the Lord, and he dwelt there by the brook. And then also in verse 10, we talked about that. He went to Zarephath. He just went. He says he arose and he went to Zarephath. And in 18 verse 2, it says there again, when the Lord told him to go show himself to Ahab, there was a famine, and he went up and he showed himself to Ahab. And then once again in 19, which we'll look at a little bit later, chapter 19, verse 19, he departed. This is after God told him to get up and get off the mountain and go anoint Elisha to be to prophet in his place. We see that he did his part in following instructions. This is even after, there in chapter 19, he fled 200 miles to get away from Queen Jezebel. We don't see anywhere in those verses that the Lord directed him there, even through his discouragement and maybe his failure and not doing what the Lord asked, or maybe acting on his own power, that God didn't give up on him, and he still went and obeyed him. But God says, "What are you doing here? I didn't ask you to do this." And it says there he departed. I think in our life, if we believe that God is telling us to do something, and we know that it's of Him, He will supply the power and the grace for us to do it. The second thing that I want to look at about Elijah is that he stayed connected with God. And we don't really know for sure how much time Elijah spent praying or meditating or fasting. But I had to think that in the 3 years he spent in the wilderness and at the home of the widow lady there, I believe that he was doing that. Back in chapter 17 again, verses 1 and 2, the word of the Lord came again unto him. And we see different times there in chapter 8 and then in verse 18, different times that the word of the Lord came unto him. And we see Elijah being sensitive to that call, that when the Lord called him, he was sensitive. And then we also see that Elijah, the way he called on the Lord, chapter 17, verse 22, it says that the Lord heard the voice of Elijah there when he raised the widow's son. And in 18:24 and through the chapter there, it says, I'm going to call in the name of the Lord, and you're going to call in the name of your gods, and the God that answers by fire, He will be God. So, like I said, we don't know how much that Elijah spent in prayer to God during that time. But I had to think of, as we build relationship with Christ, it's a little bit like we would build a relationship with each other. You know, at the hospital, I pass hundreds of people a day. Sometimes probably, there's maybe 100 people in one hallway. And of those people, there's probably 89 or 90% of people that I would just say hi to. And that would be it. And then there's 5% of the people that I might say, hi, how are you? Maybe require some sort of a response. And then there's a few people that I know fairly well and have a relationship with. And I talk to them. I'd stop and talk for 5 or 10 minutes. But there's probably really no one that I would share a lot of personal things with. A lot of things that are deep in our relationship. Someone who you could tell everything to. I've been around people who are together so much that they can finish sentences for each other. Sometimes they even start to act alike. They do things like each other. And as we go through our Christian life, that should be our desire as Christ. We don't start out in a Christian life to being like Christ or always acting in the way, but as we grow, should be our desire. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. He that saith, He abideth in me, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. And that communication with God is important, and many times I fail in that. And we realize, sometimes I realize partway through the day that I didn't have much of a prayer time in the morning, and I needed to do that. And many times we forget to ask God about the things that are small. I heard an illustration one time, I don't remember where, but you know when you talk to someone who has what I call cell phobia, just an innatural desire to have a cell phone in your hand, and we see that every 3 to 4 minutes a person is checking their cell phone. And the illustration was given that if we could check in with God that often, we would be in much better shape in our Christian life. And I think of that often when I see someone on a cell phone, I think, well, maybe I should be checking in with the Lord again, you know, even though it's only been a few minutes. Maybe we need to do that a little bit more. 3 points quickly about staying connected to God or as our relationship grows. One is that it's a two-way relationship, and we see that with Elijah through his life, that there was opportunities for him to listen and there was opportunities for him to pray. I want to read one verse. In Philippians, it's a very popular verse there about prayer. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then again in Psalms chapter 5, we see that Psalms chapter 5, verse 3, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. So that's just two of the many verses that instruct us to be in prayer. for different areas, for thanksgiving, for praises and requests. And then there's the times where we need to be still. Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I am God. The first part of that verse there. I want to read a verse in Psalms chapter 85. Psalms 85:8. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly. And then jumping to the New Testament, different ways that we hear the Lord. John chapter 14 talks about the Spirit and how he sends him to comfort us and to instruct us. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. The Spirit is there for us and gives us direction. And then also, 2 Timothy 3, another very well-known scripture. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Instruction there, not that we are going to be perfect, but that we would be mature Christians through reading his word and using his scripture. The second thing about staying connected to God is that it will definitely be hindered by Satan. And if you have not I shouldn't even say that. All of you have witnessed this. When you go to have your devotions or you go to have prayer and there's something, sometimes you think, oh, I forgot to shut the barn door. And I need to go out and do that. There's always something. There's always a phone call. There's always something to distract you. And we'll come back to that in just a minute. Ephesians 4:27 says that we're not to give place to the devil. 1 Peter 5:8 talks about the devil being a lion. And he's going to come about and he's going to seek to devour us. And in Elijah's case, in chapter 19, verses 3 and 4, we see it was discouragement. I want to read chapter 19, verses 3, 4, and 10. And when he saw that Jezebel was going to kill him by lunchtime the next day, it says there, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself. Notice that for himself, that he might die, and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And down in verse 10, we did read this verse, and he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant and thrown down thine altars and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. He requested that he would die. He was so discouraged. We know that the devil is going to distract us. We said that he's going to bring things in our life to distract us from our devotions and from our prayer. And that brings us to the third thing about staying connected to God is that it takes discipline. And the sermon this morning was great. Brother Harold talking about that and discipline. But I want to read one verse, well, a couple of verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Know ye not that they which run the race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body, and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So he says there that he keeps under his body and to bring it under subjection to serve the Lord. The third point about Elijah and what I believe Elijah did was that he gave God the credit. We don't really see anywhere that Elijah claims any kind of special power more than that of God. I think we need to be careful about us thinking that we on our own strength can do great things for God. And I want to read a couple verses in Colossians. And as we think about our dependence on God, Colossians chapter 1, 16 to 18. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Or he is before all. He's number one. And we don't see there Elijah saying to the prophets, now, I'm going to call fire down from heaven, so you better watch out. What we did see, what do see him saying is, I'm going to call in the name of my God, and whoever answers by fire, then he'll be the God. So we're going to let him call fire down and say, just see what happens. And there, that was in verse 24. And then in verse 36, we see that he says, after the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God of Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. You see, Elijah's obeying what God told him to do, but he says, I've done it all because God told me to do it. I didn't do any of this on my own. So, God, you're going to have to take care of this. And then we see that the Lord, in verse 39, the people say, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. They don't say Elijah, he's a great man. I don't think they liked Elijah, to tell you the truth. But the Lord, he is God. I found a quote that I thought would fit here good. God can do tremendous things through people who don't care who gets the credit. Now, the word that we think of when we think of giving God the credit is humility. The dictionary definition says meek or submissive, but the Bible dictionary I like a lot better. It's a personal quality in which an individual shows dependence on God and a respect for other people. It shows that we realize our unworthiness, not our worthlessness before God. And there's times of discouragement, as Elijah may have felt, I don't know, that you would feel worthless, that you're not any good anymore. And that's wrong. What we see when David wrote Psalm chapter 8, he's dealing with some of these things, and he says in Psalms chapter 8, the first couple of verses there, he's telling how excellent the name of the Lord is. Who has set the glory above the heavens? And out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies. And now that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens and the work of thy fingers and the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. So he talks about how great God is, and he says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? David realizes here his weakness, his frailty before God. And there in verse 5 and 6, he also realizes that God made us for a purpose. And there he says, for thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou hast madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hand, and hast put all things under his feet. The relationship between God and man, he's talking there how great God is, and yet through all that, he still made man and our sinful nature to be of value to him. Humility keeps us from depending too much on ourselves, even when the task seems easy. And I'd like to jump back to Joshua, just a few verses there, as an illustration of this. Joshua chapter 7, verses 3 to 11. We see there that Joshua sent some men to spy out. It says there, Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, and they went up there to spy it out and to give a report, and they came back and they said, this is a piece of cake. We don't really need much help. In fact, we would suggest only sending 2,000 or 3,000 men to go to up here. And there in verses 4 and 5, the Israelites fled before them. They were scared. They killed 30-some of the Israelites. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until evening. Till eventide, and he and the elders of Israel put dust on their heads. And we see after things didn't go right, Joshua says, Lord, what's wrong here? And he found out there was sin in the camp, and that they had to take care of that before the Lord would bless that. But we might get the impression that things are easy and that we can do it on our own. That's That's wrong. Sometimes in the physical, physically we might have an experience that allows us to be humbled a little bit. And I have an illustration I'm going to tell you about that happened to me a few months ago. Some of you know this, and it was embarrassing. At work, I park in the parking garage out front of the hospital, and there's a 4-foot-high concrete wall. And to get to my car, I have to walk the whole way to the center of the parking garage and then back over to this corner of the steps and then down the steps and out to the center again to my car. It's a lot faster to jump the wall and go straight to my car. So one day the guys at work were telling me, they just couldn't believe how I was getting to my car so fast. How do you do that? And they were going on, and actually they were doing that on purpose to see what I would do, and it worked just fine because I decided I was going to be totally out of the parking lot by the time they got down there. So there's a pretty nice steep bank going down to this wall so you can get a little bit of a run, and I put my hand on top of that wall and I started to jump, and my knee caught the top of that wall. And I ended up with my head on the floor of the concrete of the parking lot, and my belt buckle was stuck on the edge of the wall. And it hurt really bad, I'll tell you. And as I kicked my legs to get off of there, I'm thinking, I hope nobody sees me do this. And I made it to the car, and I left, and I didn't see anybody. I thought I was in good shape. The next morning, I came into work, and it took me about 5 seconds to realize that somebody saw it because everybody started laughing. And they thought this was hilarious. And it was funny, but it wasn't as funny to me as it was to them. And I think, we look at Elijah and the things that he had in his life. It says in James 5:17 that he had like passions as we do. And even though he had those, and even though he felt worthless there in chapter 19, he felt worthless and miserable, God still used him. God says there, I'm not done with you yet. He says, you may have traveled 200 miles for nothing, but, you're going to go from here and you're going to go anoint Elisha to be prophet in your place. He says, get up and get to work. Your work's not done. And then he adds right at the end of his confrontation there with Elijah, he says, just so you know, Elijah, there are 7,000 people here in this country who haven't bowed their knee to Baal. After Elijah's pity party, he says, I'm still in control of things, and there's still 7,000 people left who have not bowed to Baal. So in closing, I just have a couple things. As we think about that, are there people like that today? Now, there might not be people that can call fire down from heaven, or through God's power, maybe God doesn't have a reason to do that just now. But there are people who are faithful every day, who follow him and do what he asks, even if they're not well known. They may not do anything spectacular tonight, but they're faithful and they stay connected to God. So our job in our Christian life is to be faithful in the small things, and he will allow us to be faithful in the big things. We stay connected to God and realize that our dependence is on God.